want to give a praise report to God here this morning. Those of you that know me, especially those of me from years back, know this is not my comfort zone up here. And the last few times that I've done this, I've really had a lot of anxiety over coming up here and giving the word. And it takes a lot of prayer and time to calm my nerves, to find the peace, to come up here and do this. And the last week has really been filled with that anxiety. And yesterday was really hard. I kept thinking, allergies, anybody dealing with allergies? Been terrible. And yesterday I was just all plugged up. You know how it is, you're plugged up, and then it breaks loose, and then it's just all draining out, and I just felt terrible. And I was trying to finish up my message for today, and the whole time I was thinking, saying to God, maybe I'm going to be too sick tomorrow to do this. I'll call somebody. I'll give somebody short notice, but I'd call Clark, or I'll call Will, or I'll call anybody, or Ken or somebody to come up here and do this, and I never got the okay to do that. But I got up this morning, one of the first things I always do is I get my phone and open up the Bible app to read the verse of the day. And I done that this morning. And to give you a little background, Betty and I, our first service at Harvest Fellowship was Easter Sunday in 2004. Later on that year in September, we were both water baptized. And as Betty likes to say, we had told Mark and Jada that we wanted to be involved and help them any way we could. So Pastor Mark, he dunked us and dumped us right into nursery. And for those of you that remember, it was about half the size of the nursery back here now. And it seemed like there was anywhere from infants to, 4 or 5 year olds. And there was about 100 kids at that time. It was crazy back there. So anyway, we served back there, and it was a few months after we were baptized. I was in my shop one day. We were living at Weatherford, and God started speaking this scripture to me. And I was still pretty fresh in my walk, and I didn't know. He didn't give me the scripture, what chapter or verse or anything. He just spoke these words to me. So it took me a while that night to go home and to find where this scripture was. So I proclaimed it as my scripture. And this morning when I opened up my Bible app, with all this anxiety and everything, this was a scripture that popped up. And it's Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that just brought a lot of peace and comfort to me. And then I had Kent pray for me again this morning and to pray for that specific need. And I just, as he was praying and just thinking about that scripture, I just felt that peace and that calm come. So I just want to praise God this morning. That even when you don't think he's listening, he is. Amen. And he's here to help us. All right, here we go. Scripture we're going to read today, it's from Isaiah chapter 11, and it's verses 1 through 5. I read this here, I don't know, it's been 4, 5, 6 weeks ago that I read this, and it just stuck with me. And the whole time I was praying that for God to show me what he wanted us to talk about this day. And I really didn't think it was this scripture. I really didn't know it until yesterday. But I think it goes along a lot with what Mark's been preaching on out of Acts and the Holy Spirit. And it says this, it says, "And a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." I've titled this message, "Buckle Up." And it comes from the last verse there that I read. But here's what we're going to discuss and talk about today. And it's the character of the King. It's the character of the Holy Spirit. It's our character. The branch and root of Jesse. A stem, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. When I was reading this, I went back and I was reading a little bit there in the chapter before, and the last two verses in it, in Isaiah 10, 33 through 34, leaves us with the idea, the vision of God chopping down the proud as if they were mighty trees. And as we begin to read this scripture, this passage here, we can now see that this is a picture of God. He's looking over these stumps that he has cut down, and out of one of these stumps, he's going to cause a new shoot to grow from the root of Jesse, King David's father. Now, as I was thinking of this, I was thinking, and probably everybody in here at some point in time has dealt with this. You know, you've down there around my shop, if you see, I mean, we're overtaken with trees. And every spring, I go through there and I've cut out a whole bunch of new growth. And I go through there and I'll spray Roundup or a weed killer or something, trying to slow them down. And I've got one specific one up there that I've been battling for 10 years. And last spring, I really got mad at it, and I dug around it as deep down as I could get and took my axe, and I chopped and whacked on that thing and cut a big old root out of it, and I thought, I finally got you. And I went in there, and I sprayed some stuff on it, and you're done. I won't have to deal with you no more. But this spring, I go out there one day, and out of that raggedy mess that I left, there was about 20 new shoots coming up from that thing. New growth comes from what we think is a dead stump. I was thinking also this, as you know, with cedar trees, if you'll cut a cedar tree off below the last growing branch, it will kill the root. But if you leave just a little bit of new growth down below that, that thing will continue to live. So out of a dead stump will bring new growth. And Jesus did come from the stump of Jesse. The royal authority of the house of David was dormant for 600 years when Jesus came as King and Messiah. When Jesus came forth, it was like a new green branch coming from an apparently dead stump. We see a bare, withered tree stump, robbed of its trunk and top, and it looks as though the stump will never bear any fruit. But a small shoot sprouts from the root of this dry stump, which is the Davidic dynasty. And because of its unsightliness and misery, It is not named after David, but after his father. When Christ was born, there was nothing royal about that dynasty, but a new shoot sprang from this old stem. In using this, in Isaiah, he is emphasizing the humble nature of the Messiah. Jesse was much less famous than his father, a famous father than his son, King David. And it is far humbler to say from Jesse than to say from King David. And that's the first characteristic that we see in this passage. It don't mention it, but it's there, and that's humility. Jesus walked in humility. The Holy Spirit is full of humility, and we need to be walk in humility. Amen. Verse 2, this says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And before I go any further, I want to say here, I'm not talking about that there's seven different spirits, but these are some of the characteristics. This is not all the characteristics, but these are some of the characteristics here that Isaiah mentions in this passage about the Holy Spirit and about our Lord and Savior Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The branch that comes from the apparently dead stump isn't just barely alive. It is full of life and full of the Spirit of the Lord. We see here that the Messiah has seven. It's the number of fullness and completion aspects of the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus did not have a false spirit or a deceiving spirit or even the spirit of a man. The Spirit of the Lord, our God, the Spirit of the Lord God of Israel rests upon the Messiah. And we can see on even one occasion where Jesus rebuked his disciples saying, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. And that comes from Luke 9:55. Jesus was and is of the Spirit of the Lord, and he knew it. Amen. The Spirit of wisdom. This is a big one. We all need to walk in the Spirit of wisdom. Amen. The Spirit of wisdom is upon the Messiah. Jesus is perfectly wise in all things. He showed this during his earthly ministry, and he shows it now in his continuing ministry in heaven for us, his people. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus became for us wisdom from God. He also became for us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It isn't just that Jesus has wisdom. He is wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of understanding is upon the Messiah. Jesus understands all things. And he understands all things because he is wise. He understands us perfectly. He is perfectly suited to be our sympathetic high priest in heaven. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I found this here. Understanding, it comes from a gentleman named John Trapp. He was an English Puritan in the 1600s. And he said this about the word understanding. And he gives the meaning of it Hebrew in the word understanding in Hebrew, and I'm not going to give it to you because the only word I know in Hebrew is Hebrew. But understanding in Hebrew has the idea of a sharp sense of smell. This is how John Trapp described it. Jesus' sharpness of judgment in smelling out a hypocrite. His sharp nose easily discerns and is offended with the stinking breath of the hypocrite's rotten lungs. Man, I hope that's not me. I mean, that's getting right to the core, isn't it? Though his words be never so scented and perfumed with shows of holiness. I see this a lot. One of my bad vices I do is I get on Twitter and read a lot. And I've got me two accounts. I've got one that's for politics and one for sports. And I go in there and I follow people. And you go in there and you look at a lot of them's bio. And they, in their bio, they'll have a scripture. You know, God first, family second, country third, or something, you know, to show they're holy and follow Christ. But then you go read some of their tweets and you think, holy cow, you're a hypocrite. You know, you got the stinking breath of a hypocrite's rotten lungs. I don't want to be like that, amen. We don't want to be a hypocrite and try to cover it with a scent and perfumes of shows of holiness. We want to walk with the character of Jesus. Amen. The spirit of counsel is upon the Messiah. Jesus has the perfect counsel to give us at all times because he has both the wisdom and understanding to be a perfect counselor. The spirit of might is upon the Messiah. Jesus has the power to do what he desires to do. Many people would help us if they could, but are powerless to help. Others may have the power to help us, but they don't care. But Jesus has both the love and might to help us. And we have the might and love to help. And that's what reading this and then Betty talking to Jen, that's one of the reasons I think as a church we need to be better at helping people when times of struggle or devastation hits. And that's why, you know, I'm asking for you to think about helping Jacoby and Lindsay out, because we have that spirit of might to help. Amen. The spirit of knowledge is upon the Messiah. Jesus knows everything. He knows our hearts, and he knows all the facts. And that's one thing I wish he didn't know, is all the facts about me. But he does. Many times we have made decisions that seem strange or wrong to others because they didn't have the knowledge that we have. Jesus has knowledge that we don't, so it shouldn't surprise us that sometimes his decisions seem strange or wrong to us or to others. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is upon the Messiah. This is one that always, especially in my beginning walk, always kind of confused me. I was like, am I supposed to run in fear of God? Fear of the Lord. Am I supposed to cower thinking that he is always out to get me if I mess up just a little bit? But the fear of the Lord, which is upon the Messiah, and which is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is a place of submission, respect, and honor to God the Father. Amen. The spirit of the Lord, of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. These seven aspects of the Spirit of God are not the only characteristics of the Holy Spirit. But they are grouped together here in a seven to show the fullness and perfection of the Holy Spirit. It isn't that there are seven different spirits of God. Rather, the Spirit of the Lord has these characteristics, and He has them all in fullness and perfection. Amen. Shall rest upon Him. Jesus the Messiah lived and ministered as a man. And I love how this, when I printed this out, how it came. I've got about an inch gap between each one of these words. It's like, look at this and know this and become this. But it said that He lived and ministered as a man filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. The wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord Jesus displayed in His ministry flowed not from His own divine resources, but from His reliance on the Spirit of the Lord who filled Him. As truly God, Jesus has all these attributes from eternity. But when Jesus emptied Himself at the incarnation, He allowed the Holy Spirit to fill Him as a man, being an eternal example to us and a sympathizer with us. When Jesus added humanity to His deity, in no way did He stop being God. But as Philippians 2, 5 through 8 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. There is some sense in which Jesus chose to empty Himself of some of the privileges and prerogatives of deity. Instead, Jesus chose to rely on the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Amen. We need to rely on the Spirit of the Lord. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus displayed the fruit of the Spirit to the uttermost because He was a perfect vessel. Jesus received the Spirit without measure. John 3:34 tells us, for He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. There seem to have been times when Jesus did not operate beyond what a Spirit-filled man could do, such as when He was transfigured, or when Jesus performed some of His miracles over nature. But certainly, Jesus fought all His battles as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. These seven characteristics describe the nature of the Spirit of the Lord. They also describe the nature of Jesus. There's no difference between the nature of Jesus and the nature of the Holy Spirit. When we see Jesus, we see God the Father. John 14:9 says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? When we see the Spirit of the Lord at work, it should look like the ministry and the nature of Jesus. Amen. The perfect character of the Messiah. And His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And He shall not judge by the sight of His eyes, nor decide by the hearing of His ears. But with righteousness He shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of His loins, and faithfulness the belt of His waist. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Nothing pleased Jesus more than doing the will of his Father. And Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 4:34. With righteousness he shall judge. Jesus did not rely on outward appearance or on the mere words that someone said. He judges with righteousness. He didn't cheat the poor of justice. And if the poor and the weak are given justice, then everyone will be. And can I get a great big amen for that? We see a lot of that happening right now in the world, don't we? It seems to be there's a certain population that thinks they're above the law and shouldn't be held to the same standards. But we can hold that this is true, that when Jesus comes, they are going to sit under the same judgment that we are. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. The mere words of Jesus have the power to judge the wicked. He only has to announce a judgment, and it is done. There's no going to a higher court. No saying, well, I'm going to go to a different judge. I'm going to go to find me a judge of my party and go to it. You're going to go sit before Jesus, the ultimate judge of everything. Amen. And righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. The qualities of righteousness and faithfulness are so close to Jesus, they are like belts around his waist. Everything Jesus does is touched by his righteousness and his faithfulness. And here's where I got my title, Buckle Up. We live in what they call the Bible Belt. And many people say that Oklahoma is the buckle of the Bible Belt. And reading some stuff, you can go on there, and there's a lot of people don't think much of the Bible Belt. They don't hold this in much regard. I read one deal this morning complaining about the amount of executions that are conducted. The majority of them are conducted in the Bible Belt. And it always strikes me funny you read something like that. As I read a little bit more from this person, they're all for abortion. It always strikes me funny how a lot of people are against executions for people who do horrible things, but they're all for killing an innocent baby who's never done anything. And as the buckle of the Bible Belt, it's time for us to buckle up. You know, the buckle is important. I work with, in my line of business, in the leather shop, I work with buckles all the time. And I'm all the time replacing. People bring me stuff that have got weak, flimsy buckles in there, and they break, give away. And as you know, especially on my breeches, I don't have much hip. My buckle was to break, I'd probably be standing up here with my pants down around my ankles. So we have to have a good buckle, and we have to be a good buckle for the Bible Belt. And we have to walk in the characteristics of our Lord Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me, let's pray. Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share, to speak your word. I pray, Lord, that this word honored you and glorified you today. I pray, Lord, that it was a word that brings hope and understanding and fills everyone with wisdom and knowledge, might. And fear of the Lord. Lord, and I just lift everyone up here today, and I pray you would bless them and grant them great favor. Lord, that you would go with them this week, that you would watch over them, protect them. Keep evil from us all, Lord, that we would cause no harm and no harm come to us. Lord, we just love you and praise you and thank you for your son Jesus, for the gift of eternal life that we have through his sacrifice. And we just want to praise you and honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great and blessed week.